Okay. So, sorry for the brief break here. And so at that particular point, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu changed their names. He gave them instant initiation. He said, your names now are Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatana, and also Anupama or Balabha. Anyway, so then they actually, well, the first Lord Chaitanya said, I had no business in Ramakeli. My only business is to actually see you. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. And at this particular point, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami advised Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to not continue to Vrindavan. He said, it's, you know, it's basically like this big circus you're going in. Vrindavan should be appreciated in a very, let's say, peaceful mood. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on their advice, taking their advice, did not proceed to Vrindavan. So shortly after that, Rupa Goswami and Balabha, who had been named Nupama by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, renounced the world. And they began to live as traveling mendicants, and as Prabhupada describes it, Rupa Goswami gave 50% to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, 25% of his income, which was actually boatloads of gold coins, not a small amount, and 25% for personal emergencies. And of course, that 25% that was meant for personal emergencies was used by Sanatana Goswami later on to escape, bribe the prison warden, and escape from prison. Eventually, they traveled to Prayag. And in Prayag, they met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught them all the truths about Krishna consciousness, the tattvas, and the transcendental relationships. Actually, it was there that they composed the poem, Namo Mahavignaya. Krishna Prem. What?
It's still alive. It's still debating on it. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well. I don't see how that's possible. But anyway, life is life. Maybe Krishna is using his own computer. So anyway, so there they go. Krishna's very merciful. So there. I don't understand these things. These are beyond the experiencing jurisdiction of the conditioned souls. So anyway, so they composed that song there, and then there's a lot of information here which we're not going to read or make reference to concerning Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Srila Rupa Goswami at this particular juncture. They accompanied Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as far as Benares, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them to go to Vrindavan and meet him later on in Jagannath Puri. And on the way to Vrindavan, Anupama left the world, and while traveling to Puri, after Rupa Goswami left Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami first conceived of dramatic playwriting as a viable means to convey the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And while he was thinking about this, he was passing through a village named Satyabhamapura. And in this village, the village was named after Satyabhama, he had a dream, and a beautiful woman appeared to him and asked him to write a play about her. And then he realized it was Satyabhama. And actually, she asked him to write a separate play about her, because originally he was thinking, let me write a play about the pastimes of Vrindavan and the pastimes in Dwarka. You know, just combine them all in one play. But she said, you know, there have to be two separate plays. I need one play about me. And the Lita Madhava is primarily about Satyabhama, although you have other personalities like Rukmini there and others, but the interaction between Satyabhama and Krishna is the primary topic of the Lita Madhava. And Satyabhama, of course, is the direct expansion of Srimati Radharani in the same mood as Srimati Radharani. And we'll be seeing portions of that play by the mercy of Champaka on Janmashtami, right? All right, mercy of Champaka, not Rupa Goswami. So actually, Rupa Goswami did not complete these works, the Lita Madhava and the Vidagdha Madhava. Lita Madhava referring to the pastimes primarily in Dwarka, although there begins with Vrindavan. And then Vidagdha Madhava, the pastimes in Vrindavan. He didn't complete them until later, although some of the rough drafts of these works were read by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, and they were actually quite impressed. There's a whole discussion between Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Swarup Damodar Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about this. So, as described, these two are regarded by Gaudiya Vaishnavas, these two works, as the most important dramatic literatures in the Sanskrit language.
Sure.
But Rupa Goswami, being extremely humble, did not go into the Jagannath Puri temple. He actually remained outside, along with Haridas Thakur, which Sanatana Goswami did the same thing, and he just looked at the flag, because he considered himself fallen, having taken association and taken up, he considered to have, that he had taken up many of the habits of the Muslims. And that was the tradition in those days. It's interesting, so we shouldn't try to push our way into the temple. When Krishna wants, we can go in the temple. Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada said that unless they let the Western devotees into the temple, Lord Jagannath will come out and join us.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he has. Mm-hmm. And all over the world. Srila Prabhupada's favorite festival was the Rath Yatra festival, which he established in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Rupa Goswami stayed with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 10 months and got further instruction from him. Later on, he went to Bengal just to settle everything with his family. Chodi was very responsible. In other words, leaving the proper money with his family, divided the wealth up properly. And he gave a lot of money to the Brahminical community and temples in Bengal. So, then, when he arrived in Braj, this was the second time, because first he went to Braj, then he went to Puri. When he arrived back in Braj, he established the deity of Vrindadevi, and it's described here. Of course, Vrindadevi is known to be one of the primary characters in the Lalita Madhava. Actually, Navabrinda. That means an expansion of Brinda. That's in Navabrindavan, which is New Vrindavan, not the one in Pennsylvania, not the one in West Virginia, but it's outside of Dwarka. It's a replica of Vrindavan that was constructed by Vishvakarma to help Krishna allay some of his feelings of intense separation. That's mentioned in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So we established the deity of Vrindadevi, and Vrindadevi originally was on the same site as the temple that Rupa Goswami established, the Govindadev temple. And today this deity is found in a temple known as the Madan Mohan temple, but not the one in Vrindavan. It's the one in Kamyavan. If anybody's been to Kamyavan, a beautiful place, which is in western Braj. So, Rupa Goswami, at one particular juncture in Vrindavan, was actually lamenting his inability to carry out Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, and especially about establishing a temple. And while he was meditating on like that and lamenting on the banks of the Yamuna River, a young boy approached him. And the young boy said, "Why are you so depressed?" And Rupa Goswami said, "That I've gotten this mission to establish Vrindavan as a place of pilgrimages, headquarters for the Hare Krishna movement, and building temples and establish a scholastic and literary community, and I don't know how I'm going to do this." And after hearing this, the young boy said, "Follow me." And he led Rupa Goswami to a small hill. And he said, "Inside, there's the deity of Govindadev, which was established almost 5,000 years ago by Rajanava, who's Krishna's great-grandson." The story is Rajanava came with some of Krishna's wives that were still there, and he came to Braj, and he was the one who actually installed most of the original deities in Braj. And it's one. There's one description that he had a kirtan one time, and Krishna and the gopis and all the cowboys, they came out of the ground. They were dancing there in the Govardhan area. They were dancing, and after the kirtan, and Uddhava too, and after the kirtan, they all disappeared. So, anyway, so later, after this deity was installed by Brajanava, there was an invasion of the Muslims, which was far, far after the deity was installed, far later. And the villagers had buried the deity in the hill to prevent his destruction, and the deity was lost, basically. But the boy described to Rupa Goswami that every day a large cow comes to the place and showers her milk upon where the deity is. And in this way, Govinda Dev is having his daily meal. Then the young boy just disappeared into thin air. Well, that young boy, of course, is Krishna. And Rupa Goswami came to that same spot, and he saw there was a cow there, and the cow was dripping her milk right into the hole in the ground. And Rupa Goswami got very excited, called for all the villagers, and they dug up and they discovered the deity of Govinda Dev. Pretty amazing. And under the patronage of the famous Emperor Akbar, this deity, the temple for this deity was later on established. Of course, Rupa Goswami did not see the completion of this temple. It was completed after he left this world, and then also, after the temple was completed, this horrible person, Aurangzeb, who's considered an incarnation of Kamsa, destroyed the temple because the temple was so high that the ghee lamps at the top of the temple could be seen from Agra, which is quite far away. And he got so upset that something was so bright in Vrindavan, he sent his men to destroy the temple, and they were tearing the top stories down. And then all of a sudden there was rumbling and, you know, whatever it is, a horrible sound. Not horrible, it's Krishna, but a nice sound. But they thought it was a horrible sound. The ground was shaking, and all his men ran away, and therefore half the temple was there. At least the top stories were taken down. So later on, actually, at the same time, these deities were moved to Jaipur for protection, where he is presently being worshipped along with Srimati Radharani. And that's the famous Radha Govinda temple, which is right in the palace area in Jaipur. And every morning, all the pious people of the city, they assemble near the temple, and they are chanting, Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. I mean, it's quite a wonderful sight. Has anyone here been there? Just a few of us, two of us. Oh, Krishna Priya is born there. But they're chanting Govinda, Govinda, and the whole town, they're circumambulating. It's quite a sight. I mean, if devotees get an opportunity, they should go to Jaipur. I've been there several times because that's where Radha Golokananda came from. The story of Radha Golokananda is very interesting. I'll just tell you real quickly. Is that we had all these different pictures of deities from all over the world. And we went to the sculptor. You know, there's a whole road of sculptor, of deity. It's a deity area. There's like hundreds, if not thousands, of sculptors of deities there. And of course, they have deities of everything. There's Indira Gandhi deities, there's Satya Sai Baba deities. You know, and they'll make a deity of you if you want. But anyway, so it's not that I ordered a deity off of the shelf. No. I went to the, mystery would be more or less like a plumber or something, but whoever does the sculpting. I went to them and most famous one, and I said, this is what we want. We want Krishna to look like this, we want Radharani to look like this. And it took several years to get the deities made because they start with one big marble piece and, you know, gradually chip away by hand. And I was watching them do it. It was quite amazing. And then finally, I arranged for the shipping from India. And then I personally walked the deities through the customs in New York. Which is nice. And then I drove them down in my car.
Wow.
And I kept them in my cabin in the woods for about a year or two, isn't it?
I think it was
They were in my cabin in the woods. So, I mean, it's quite, anyway. Yeah, my connection with the deities goes back a long time. Anyway, so that's Jaipur. So anyway, so Radhagovinda at Jaipur, that's why I spent a lot of time in Jaipur. And so the as far as the Vidagdha Madhava and Lita Madhava are concerned, his two primary plays, works, it's described that the inner guidelines and esoteric rasas for these dramas were given to Rupa Goswami by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. In other words, this is Lord Chaitanya's dictation, basically, to Srila Rupa Goswami. And Lord Chaitanya gave it to him. Wow, the house of... Actually, they were previously divulged at the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, not in front of Rupa Goswami, but they were previously given to the devotees there. And actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enacted some of these same dramatic performances for the pleasure of his devotees in those houses. Wow. So I describe, I guess we should describe what the Vidagdha Madhava describes the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. The primary theme of the play centers around a fundamental concern that Radharani's husband might spirit her away from Sri Krishna, and thus creating a serious obstacle to their union. In addition, forgive me, Chandravali tries to compete with Radharani for Krishna's affection. The drama enables one to experience the inner turbulence of an otherwise blissful conjugal rus. It nonetheless assures its audience of the ultimate victory that is quite inevitable in spiritual relationships, joy rather than Krishna. So it has seven acts to it. The Lita Madhava is a description of Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka. Maybe we'll speak about that tonight in our class online. And it was finished in 1546. It starts out with the killing of Shankachuda. The third part deals with Shripati Radharani going crazy in separation. The fourth with Radharani's proceeding towards Krishna, you know, leaving this world and getting taken by the sun god. Anyway, I don't have time to tell the whole thing. The fifth with the achievement, of Chandravali. The sixth with the achievement of Lalita. The seventh with the meeting in Nava Vrindavan, which we mentioned before. And amazing pastimes in Nava Vrindavan. At one point, they're actually in a cave and looking at the pictures of their previous pastimes. Are you going to show this in the play?
No, I'm not sure.
Okay. That's one of my favorite parts. They're looking at the pictures of their past. Just like a wedding couple would look at their pictures of a wedding album or something like that. So they're looking at the pictures of all their pastimes in Vrindavan that are carved on the wall of the cave. And then one time, there's the pastime of Krishna stealing the gopis' clothes, and there's a depiction of the gopis without any clothes on. And Krishna points out the picture of Radharani in that way and says, "Who's that girl?" And Radharani gets very upset. "You know who that is." Radharani says, "Oh, who is Satyabhava?" Sorry about that. You know, Radharani Satyabhava is speaking about them being the same person for the same move. And then, anyway, finally, there's a happy ending in which Rukmini, who is Chandravali, accepts Satyabhama as her co-wife. And we're not going to tell the whole story right now. Mm-hmm. Lord Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Srila Rupa Goswami compiled two important dramas named Vidagdha Madhava and Lita Madhava, from which one can understand all the mellows derived from the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Wow. And there's another literature composed by Srila Rupa Goswami which takes up from where the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu leaves off. It's called the Ujjala Nilamani. And it's quite elaborate. Rupa Goswami, of course, is the incarnation of Rupa Manjari. The Manjari Gopi is a small, it's not small, but a pre-pubescent girl who assists Radha and Krishna in their pastimes. Just one final story here, because all we have time for. One time, Rupa Goswami was performing his bhajan in a place known as Teto Kadamba. That's near Nandagram. And he had the desire to get some milk and sugar and prepare some cure for his Govinda Didi, and also to offer to Sanatana Goswami. So as he was thinking like that, a young girl came and brought him a nice quantity of milk and sugar. Here she said, please prepare some nice kheer and offer it to your deity. After saying this, she disappeared. Rupa Goswami did as she said. He boiled the milk and sugar into a sweet, thick, condensed drink, offered it to his deity, and gave the remnants to Sanatan. In fact, when Sanatan took the remnants of this kheer, he started to shake in ecstasy and basically roll on the ground. He was unable to control himself, and he asked Rupa Goswami, where'd you get the ingredients? Rupa Goswami described to him where he got the ingredients for this kheer, and Sanatana Goswami understood that the girl who brought the ingredients was Srimati Radharani, and he chastised Rupa Goswami, because Sanatana Goswami was the elder brother, so he was like the siksha guru of Srila Rupa Goswami, and he said, we should not take service from Radharani, we should serve Radharani. You have actually violated the primary principle that has been taught to us. Of course, this is a pastime. He did a similar thing with Raghunath Das Goswami. Sanatana Goswami chastised Raghunath Das Goswami when Raghunath Das Goswami was being shielded from the sun by Srimati Radharani and protected from the tigers by Krishna. And he forced Raghunath Das Goswami to build a bhajan kutir. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Rupa Goswami Ki
Thank you.
Shantipadam, Pranamritas, Paranam, Sarvat Masnava.
So yeah, just be careful.